I am currently speaking to Dr. Judy Wood, and she contacted me today, and we've been discussing these rather terrible fires in California, and we were obviously quite a lot of people contacted me on Facebook saying, oh, look, it's directed energy weapons are in use, and you know, what does Dr. Judy Wood think of this, and what do you think of it, and oh, it's definitely directed energy weapons. So I just wanted to say that so that Dr. Judy could tell me and tell anyone else who listens to this what her thoughts are on this, and why we've got to be careful, basically, in what we're doing with this.
Yeah, I wonder if it's somewhat of a psyop that's been unleashed, too, because either that or it's a demonstration of how stupid people have become. They don't know how to problem solve. I've gotten a bunch of messages, too, about this. And, you know, I knew there was fires going on there, but fine, that's what you expect, but this year just happens to be worse. Mm. But there's, like, one of the examples that I've seen people use is fire coming out of a tree. Well, you know, the Keebler elves build their cookie oven in the tree. That's the cartoon right. version. But squirrels live in rotted out parts of trees. There's holes in trees and logs that animals live in. It's reasonable. And I just recently took down a tree in my backyard that was rotted from the inside. and yeah, so you'd have fire coming out from inside where it burned up the
dead. Well, I suppose
stuff.
It depends how the fire actually gets into that part of the tree, though, doesn't it? And that's what's perhaps more difficult for people to imagine, because they imagine the tree catching fire from the outside. But as I was trying to say to you in a message earlier on, but not very well, if a piece of embers, you know, floats down and into the actual part of the inside of the tree, then, you know, take it from there.
Okay, if you put this chunk of a log in your fireplace, it's going to burn the inside first because the outside is still alive, and so it's wet. And the inside's ready to cook. You know, at the same temperature, in the same environment all over, the inside will burn first. And one of these hollowed-out dead logs, you know, it's dead on the inside, but
so
it's
it
live on the outside.
Actually, you know, because this guy was walking past this tree, and he did a video of it, because I've seen this video, and it looks very weird, but it just actually depends when he walked past it. If it had started burning just like 10 minutes before he's walked past it, then that's the effect, isn't it? Whereas if he, you know, if he went back an hour later...
And after it burns on the inside a while, it's then dried more of the greenwood, and that might start being able to burn eventually. But greenwood is harder to catch fire, as people know who cut down trees. You have to wait a year, approximately, before you put it in your fireplace, or else you use up too much energy just drying it out before you can burn it.
Yes. And, of course, we've seen some of these apparently strange effects, and I posted something to people saying, this looks very strange, because some people are saying, oh, these are toasted cars, and... You know, and they've got this metal coming out and stuff. But you know, you made some very obvious statements in one of your messages to somebody, didn't you? So maybe you want to talk about that.
Well, true, but you know, I did see some of those burnt cars, and I won't say toasted cars. There are pictures like I use in my presentations to show the difference between what happened in New York City and normal car fires. Mm-hmm. And they're very different. Like you see, you know, different colors. It looks like a calico kind of coloring. You remember the bus in New York City? How it was kind of uniform color. You didn't see scorch marks on it. But these cars, you see scorch marks on it. Yellow, black, and you know, it all as I say, calico looking. And that's normal for car fires, as well as I call them fangs, you know, the broken glass sticking down. Yeah, glass is going to break out because it can't expand much before it's going to shatter. At different temperatures, you know, high heat, it's going to shatter. It's going to break. It's not going to melt. Some guy was saying, oh, look, the melted out window. No, they're shattered. You can see the jagged edges around
so
the
So really,
in
a couple of things, you know, that you said there, you've really got to look very carefully, and if the picture isn't of high enough resolution, then you aren't going to see those details. Or if it's taken from too far away, you're not going to see those little pieces of glass, are you? You know, that's one of the things to think about.
Right. Right. So why, you know, I asked somebody, why do you need it to look weird? I mean, why is that, if you, you know, if you don't know one way or the other, why are you jumping to one conclusion? And I studied, before I started talking out loud, you know, in public about the 9/11 stuff, you know, I'd been studying it for 5 years.
Yes.
Or 4 years, anyway. And it's, you know, to know what I was talking about and to be absolutely sure of it. I don't go on a whim. You destroy your credibility if you do that.
Exactly.
Because you're going to be, you know, guessing this, next day guess that. And if you find somebody who does that, you know they have no credibility.
This is exactly what I posted on Facebook to somebody that, you know, you've been studying 9/11, because I know, you know, we spoke about this when I saw you in South Carolina, that, you know, you started sharing stuff with somebody in 2004, didn't you? And you just started chatting over and working stuff out. And that was 3 years after the event. That was even before you'd, you know, that's while you were still at Clemson and you were still kind of keeping your head down quite a bit. You know, and that was 3 years. So for somebody to come out and say, oh, it's directed energy weapons in California fires, you know, after 2-3 days, 24 hours.
Yeah. And I'd like to ask, you know, how many fires have you studied? In depth, in great detail, how many fires have you studied? Are you a forensic, you know, forest fire studier? And what are the conditions? Are the grounds wet? What were the speed of the winds?
Yep.
And, you know, like people wondering why houses burn where trees weren't burning. Well, that's green wood. Houses have dry wood in them. That's just a, you know, one general statement, but there's lots of details that go with that. And looking at what materials burned in all other forest fires, it matters as to how they travel and how the wind is blowing. And when was the last time it rained? Is the ground wet? Is it dry?
Right.
What's the specific heat of the various materials involved in this fire compared to other fires? And if you don't know that, how can you say this one's weird if this is the only one you've ever looked at?
Yes.
That's the most bizarre part of it.
That's right. I mean, you really need to study several fires, many fires, really, and get close-up images.
In depth.
You know, and a lot more data and compare it with other. Like, I mean, for example, you did a comparison between the Seattle King Dome and the World Trade Center, just as one aspect of what you were looking at.
Just the size, yeah, looking at the seismic thing. Here's another thing we can look at right now with the California fires. How many firefighters have been killed in California?
Right.
Versus how many firefighters were killed in Manhattan, in New York City, in the World Trade Center? 343 there. And I don't even know if any have been killed in California. Except maybe in a traffic accident from falling asleep at the wheel because they've been working too long.
Right.
But not so much fire related. They know how to size up normal fires.
Yes. Yes.
And so we can look at that piece of evidence. But why is this taking off like wildfire, so to speak?
Yeah.
Why do people need to feel like it's a weird fire?
That's right. I mean, I suppose what people, perhaps there's some subconscious need for them to validate reuse of this weapon or whatever you want to call it, you know, call it a system, a weapon, I don't know what you want to call it, but, you know, I think there's somehow that
technology
perhaps is a better term, yeah. There's some need for them to see more evidence of that being used again somehow, and I don't know, you know, why that is particularly, because from what's...
Or they want to, they're trigger happy, they want to be the first. And that's why there's all the spilling of videos all over the place. Either that or someone is really motivating them to do it to, you know, spread disinfo and, as we used to say, turn people's brains into a salt and pepper shaker. Just make it so people cannot tell the difference between reality and myth.
And I mean, one...
They don't know how to diagnose
one
the problem.
One comment I'd like to make about that, one of the videos we watched a bit of together, which was done by this lady, I don't know her name, or if she gave her name, and she starts off showing all these temperatures of melting points of various substances, which, you know, is quite good in of itself. And then she goes on to go through the pictures and say, look at this picture, look at that picture, look at this bit of video, look at that bit of video. You can clearly see this, you clearly see that. And then she includes a clip from the BEM presentation that you did in 2012, where you're talking about the toasted cars. And she says, oh, here's Dr. Judy Woods. And I'm thinking, yeah, but that, why can't you get it right? You know, it might sound quite trivial to some people, but in other words, if you can't get a simple detail like that right, you know, then what about all these other details you put in before us? You know, is that, do you give us confidence? You know, I mean, I'm maybe being a bit pernickety, but I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
The same thing is, if somebody can't get details right and has, you know, blatant errors, what kind of a researcher are they? Like that Portugal one that I sent you earlier today. The guy's talking about direct energy weapons. I mean, that's a red flag right there when somebody calls it a direct energy weapon. Then he's reading something from another website, and it talks about directed energy weapons, and he reads it correctly.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get his own speech correct.
And this leads us on to the other sort of situation is that, you know, and I try to, and we've had conversations about this before, but it's worth repeating here, it's that, you know, you have done science degrees, you have done published peer-reviewed papers in engineering journals, you know, you've got all that experience.
And I've not been proved wrong anywhere.
And
not had to redact that, anything.
You having done that was as a result of decades of work, you know, in your field, you know, starting at, I don't know, you know, in the normal sort of school age, I suppose, and working right through 20, 30 years, 40 years later, and that's how he got all that experience. And
also, I know the importance of not, you know, putting out questionable guesses, but to put out what you know that you know that you know. Otherwise, who'd want to listen to you again?
The problem is, for people out there, is that there aren't many people like you. In fact, you're almost unique, I would say, in that you have got all those credentials, that training, and those analytical skills and so forth. And there aren't very many people with that level of skill who have, you know, been
in the alternative
media. You know, I can't think of that many talk show hosts that have got PhDs in engineering or science subjects, you know, hard science subjects, not soft science subjects, ones where you're having to do tensorial, you know, use tensors in mathematics and this sort of thing, grad, div and curl and all that stuff, which I know a little bit about, but I certainly, as I've said to you before, I just kind of got to my top level in maths in the first year of university and didn't feel I could go any further than that.
But more importantly, my background also is in observing physical phenomena. Yeah. It's that my observational skills that are at the top, and I've been marveled at for all the way through by my various professors, because I'll say something I point out, and they're thinking, no, it can't be. And then they go and look at it more carefully themselves and study it, and they say, oh, yep, you're right. And actually, my PhD, result of it, the work disproved all theory up to that date.
Yeah.
So when they do that, somebody's going to question it. But it was rock solid. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It was physical evidence. I was looking at deformations around and across a bimaterial interface.
Yeah.
And it had been assumed that it was a two-dimensional problem. No, it has to be looked at as a three-dimensional problem, because what's happening across the interface is also happening through the
thickness. And this is a point, you know, that the people can't experience that level of thinking until they've looked at a real-world real world problem and really studied it.
And know the importance of getting it right.
And then you learn about the materials. You learn, I mean, you made this comment earlier on about, you know, things like specific heat, talking about how materials burn. You need to know the specific heat. You need to know latent heat. You know, you need to know the thermal transfer characteristics and things like that. you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
I got to tell my story here about the, you know, this thing about global warming.
Absolutely.
You know, the warm atmosphere of, you know, the hotter days, therefore that's heating up the ocean, causing all these hurricanes. Well, I asked somebody, well, you think of the difference in specific heat of the air versus the water. How fast can you heat up your bathtub with a hairdryer?
Yeah, and you know, you can apply that in the same sort of way to studying these fires. You know, that you can just they've drawn this conclusion about global warming really from spurious data, really, or they claim to have all this data, but really, I think a lot of it is not being used how it should be used, and they've actually admitted they've changed it. I mean, I'm changing the subject here. Well, they've massaged this data.
Well, but it's the same kind of thing. Is that people, you know, who are listening to this the media don't know how to discern if something is stupid or not stupid. And you know, the deal of saying that. The higher, you know, hotter summer create all these hurricanes, or the hotter air from global warming. I mean, it's so funny. It's sad, but you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's the old thing, if you don't laugh, you'd cry kind of thing, you know, so.
Right. And okay, now applying that back to this fire business, it's really sickening, kind of. It's like this one video I saw where it was probably the first one where the person is talking about why aren't the trash cans melted, and then they walk past a melted trash can. They don't point it out.
Okay, that trash can isn't melted because it was far enough away from the flames to actually not melt.
And why are the trees? Why the trees have leaves on them? Well, they're the ones that are over the trash can that wasn't in the fire.
One of the things I did notice, and I thought it was weird, and I'll hold my hands up and say, yes, I sent round a message about the weirdness of some of this, and some of it does look weird to the untrained eye, and what we're saying is, yes, well, maybe that's you just need more training, etc. And so there's that aspect. But you know, I also noticed that these houses in these neighbourhoods seem to be very close together for the states, because we're always told, and we saw this when we came to visit you, that many of the houses have quite a lot of space around them.
Oh, those are the
right.
Older houses. The newer houses, people want big houses. There's even some of those communities around here where they want big houses. And they don't want to have to mess with the yards much. And there's just enough room to get your lawnmower from the front yard to the backyard. There's not even enough room to drive your car through. You have to drive around the block, and the garage is on the back side of the house at a special alley access. So the houses are that close that they're literally, you know, a lawnmower, a push mower is about all you can get between them.
Yeah, I mean, that's more like it is here, you know.
Right, they're not necessarily, you know, touching, but they're pretty darn close. And I understand that the winds today, I hadn't paid much attention to the fire news, but I turned on the streaming, because I don't have to do a TV, I turned on the streaming video of it, and they mentioned that the wind had died down from like 50 miles an hour to 10 miles an hour, so apparently it had been...
Well, I mean, that's it. And that, I don't think any of the videos mentioned that.
They're fanning the fire.
I mean, that if you've got that much wind. I mean, we can imagine a scenario, you know, and this is, I'll say that again, we can imagine a scenario where, for example, a fire had started naturally and they did, let's say, tweak the weather, you know, twiddle the knobs for the weather just to set the winds going, you know. We don't know that.
Yeah.
That's another possible scenario. And then we get all these people saying, oh, this is a directed energy weapon, when really all that happened is somehow they've managed to whip the winds up artificially somehow. You know, again...
If you want to get a oven fire, I'm talking about like oven for melting metal, you get bellows to add more air to it.
So if you've got a fan fire like that, then the temperatures are going to be, I don't know how much higher, but a bit higher than normal, you know.
And houses are enclosed, so once the fire is, you know, gets rip roaring, it can build up heat. But still be fed from the
wind. You know,
I
mean, we don't want to go through point by point all of these videos, because people are just going to believe what they want to believe, as we know, as we've experienced over the last...
Because they need to believe it for some reason. And that's the thing that I find so upsetting. It's that we have this many people who are so gullible. And they all want to jump on this bandwagon to see who can put out whatever video the fastest. What they're doing is really developing a bad name for conspiracy theorists.
That's true. And I mean, one of the things that Richard Hall and I both said this, is that whenever we get these horrible things happening now, you know, have this Vegas incident, we had these fires, we had them in Portugal, we had incidents in the UK, we had one in Manchester a few months back.
Sandy Hook.
That was 2012 now, so that's 5 years ago, but... You know, unless you're on the ground, unless you've got 40,000 pictures and 10 hours of video of the whole thing, you know, unless you've got seismic data, unless you've got weather data, etc., it's really tough. It's going to be really tough to draw any conclusions and know that things are, you know, get to know things, you know.
Know what it is that you know.
In other words, what I'm saying, exactly, and what I'm saying is that 9/11 was kind of the thing, because there was so much... so many different types of evidence, if you went and dug it all out and saved it, which is what you did, you know, and that's, we haven't got the same range of evidence for any of these other incidents, and unless you're there, unless you go, and then what Richard Hall does, you know, as you know, he goes and knocks on people's doors now. That's how he does his investigations. He goes and speaks to people, he records it, he asks them if they'll go on camera with it, you know, and he does it all himself. He doesn't just read web pages. You know, he does that sometimes. He doesn't just do that. You know, he's not an armchair researcher like me.
Right. The website business, that is really setting up our culture for failure. Imagine if people really didn't know what an eclipse was. What would they have thought of what happened this
August? Oh, it's a Photoshop job. You know, we Photoshopped it because the Earth.
Or actually experiencing it. We would act like the cows acted. You know, they mooed and they went stampeding to the woods because they had no idea what was going on. They're in a panic. And the owners had to come out and make sure their cows are okay, because the cows get bit out of shape. But also the birds acted like it was dusk for 1 minute. And then they went silent, like it was nighttime for a couple of minutes or 3 minutes, and then they thought it was the morning and started waking up. And same with the bugs.
That's right.
Because they didn't know about eclipses, and I bet you in, you know, caveman era they thought the gods were punishing them.
Yeah.
Turning out the lights, it was the end of the world, and you could probably get people worked up into a big frenzy over that. Our culture is being dumbed down back to that, and that's what's so concerning. Another comment I made to someone is about, you know, how do you destroy a country? You get rumors started where people don't know to check facts. And I use the example of a high school.
Right.
You start passing around, you know, gossip about somebody and something, and pretty soon they're an axe murderer and we got to go kill them.
This is the problem, and you know. I've, had a lot of posts on my Facebook account, and there's two people, one of whom I know personally, the other I have never met, but they've met you, and they're arguing over one of these pictures of the fires. You know, one saying it's fake, the other saying it's real, and these are two people that are both friends of mine on Facebook. You know, and they're just arguing over this, and I'm thinking, well, how confident can you be? Were you there? You know, what are the, you know, how much have you studied
what
is it?
What's the circumstance?
You know, and I'm thinking, why argue over it? Why can't you just say, I don't know, which is what I said. I don't know whether it's genuine or not. It looks genuine to me, but I don't know in this case, and I don't want to spend 2 hours of my life studying it to work out if it is or not at this point. Thank you very much. You know.
Like I said about Malaysian Airlines, what was it, 370? He said, well, you know, people were asking me in radio interviews about it. And I said, well, was there such a plane? Did it exist? And did it take off? And if it did, which direction was it going in? I don't know any of those questions, so I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, instead, here we had the Where's Waldo media thing. It's funny, people started copying that after I said it. That, you know, like, today, maybe it went here the next day. Maybe it went over there. Where they had no idea if the plane even existed.
Yep.
And how stupid of a population to fall for that kind of stuff, or even promote it. And that's what we have with this wildfire business.
Yes, yes. I think that's what it becomes, really, unfortunately. And I think another issue is that somebody was sort of saying to me on Facebook, oh, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And I say, well, I don't really know, and I'm just a guy with a website. And he says, oh, you're not. You know, you've done this 9/11 research. You need to comment on this. You need to comment on this. And I'm saying,
you got to give a knee-jerk reaction.
I'm saying, look, I don't need to comment on this. Thank you very much. I'm just a volunteer, you know. And he says, oh, well, I would comment on it. And I says, well, yeah, fair enough. You would comment on it. I find it quite upsetting to look at these pictures. Actually, thank you very much. And I don't really want to. You know, I'm not paid to do this, you know, and I think there's that aspect to it. We're not forced to do anything unless we actually agree to do it. We make an agreement with somebody, you know.
But are we right. Storytellers? If we haven't studied the problem, all of it is storytelling. And there's somebody who had posted something about, well, look at this weirdness because the fire abruptly stops and it's burned area, not burned area. I think they're in my book. We're reading about dust abruptly stopping, and now that is weird because, you know, like if you get a pile of flour on the floor, drop a cookie sheet on it, it's going to poof out, and you're going to have heavier stuff, and it's gradually going to, you know, as the distance goes out. But fire isn't like that. Fire burns something, or it isn't burning something.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a log that's half burned in your fireplace, and when you douse it. It's burned and then it's not burned.
I was going to say, I think we sort of covered what we wanted to say about this, and it goes back to things that I think you said before many times. You know what you know and know what you don't know, and never confuse the two. You know, and obviously you can expand on that a bit, but that's basically it. And
exactly, and we have a whole bunch of videos getting people are spitting out there to see who can put out the most amount of guesswork. You know, they want to be the first to guess at something. That's like a particular person. I guess she's not around any longer. Web Fairy, who said it's fires, it's bombs, it's thermite, it's directed energy. See, I was right. I had
I said was correct, and so I wasn't doing too badly.
but a lot
of those videos as well that you mentioned, and how many of those, and I've watched one, I think, possibly one and a bit, how many of them start off saying, hello, my name is, you know, Dr. John Smith, and I did a PhD in, you know, physics, or
fires.
I did a PhD in pyrotechnical engineering or something. Here, you know, here is my biography and CV and everything, resume. How many of them start off like that? You know, I don't think there's many. So, you know who you're dealing with as well, please, if you can, and what are their credentials to comment on these issues. How, you know, I'm not saying that because they haven't got credentials it stops them from, you know, from making good observations, but it's interpreting the observations. What experience do they have to interpret those observations as well as making them?
How many fires have they studied,
as you said earlier on? That's basically the same question. So I don't know.
I remember for the World Trade Center, the underwriter's lab was trying to do a mock-up of the floor. I think it was a half a floor span. And they cooked it for twice as long at twice the temperature, and they still couldn't get it to fail.
Yeah.
And these are people who were good at fires.
But they didn't just make a YouTube video and post it and say, there you are, that's the explanation.
Right.
You know, they did actually physically set it up. We know what they were up to now, of course, but, you know,
They tried to produce, but they couldn't.
So, you know, and there was a public report published on that with the appropriate, you know, reviews and everything for what they were worth. But, you know, anyway, I don't know whether there's anything else you wanted to say at this point on this, because I'll put this onto my website and maybe just...
Comparing it to what happened to the World Trade Center? Okay, let's compare the California fires. Did all the buildings turn to dust and go up?
Yes.
Yeah. The biggest thing is how much you discredit people, other people like me. My name is mentioned in a bunch of these videos, and that's disinformation, and that's denigrating my work, and I don't like that. You know what it is that you know that you know. and don't mix it in saying, oh, you know, somebody, what's a good example of, let's use example of sterilizing mm-hmm. something. And because that sterilizer gets rid of bacteria, doesn't matter if you get it dirty after that, it's sterilized.
Yeah.
You know, it's using it something out of context that when you don't understand what the mechanism is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think with that, then I'll say you know, I'll post this and
thank you.
And hopefully, it'll help a few people out. We may sound a bit, you know, belligerent and so forth, but it's you know, you've got go on. Yeah.
I'd like to add one more thing. The whole mm-hmm. importance of this is how we're going to be destroyed is by allowing ourselves to become mm-hmm. stupid. Mm-hmm. And if people can't tell the difference between truth and facts and reality with stories, mm-hmm. storytelling, imagine what's going to happen to them. They can be wrapped around somebody's feet. They're easy to control.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's the creepy part.
Okay, well, thanks very much for spending some time with me, and I'll post this around. And
thank
you for doing that. That's good. And we shall talk again very soon.